If I can train myself, it's about like when we were live stream only and I was looking at empty auditorium. We never had an empty auditorium. It was always somebody in here, Jim McGee and Melina and Rick and Jack and somebody would be out there. Usually Rick Payne would be out for security. So it was never empty, but it looked about like this. So you'll go back to the old days of live stream only. But thank you for being here. And I guess I don't have to ask this crowd how many of you remember to turn your clocks back, or up rather. And so you did it, hence you're here. And if I'm just reminding you that for the first time, then you just happen to blunder in at whatever time, then you did good, even by accident. So we are glad. It's Time Change Sunday, not to mention that. It's the coldest Sunday we've had for I don't know how long, and so we are here, but praise the Lord. We're glad to be here, glad to have you here as well. And so what we'll do is we'll get started with some prayer requests, and then we'll pray and get right into the lesson, and trust will be a blessing to you. Brother Steve is over in Knoxville. I haven't heard yet back. They had to go over there and get the readings, the results of that PET scan, I believe on Friday, or else another testing of some sort, but I haven't heard back from him yet how that went. So they're staying at their son Wes's, and then they're coming in the morning or coming home tomorrow. So you be praying for them. But want you to be praying for the Brother Johnny Musgrove's family, as that service will be here at the church at 3:30 this afternoon, and pray for his wife and the kids, and the Lord will bless them, and we'll have a wonderful service, we pray, but we want you to pray for them. We'll go over a few other prayer requests, and then if I can, we'll find out who else you need us to pray for. We're praying for Margaret Tipton. She's got surgery scheduled in April. You know, she had that brain aneurysm, and so they are just, I saw her just a minute ago, but they're just making sure she obeys the guidelines of keeping her blood pressure down, keeping some other things at just leveled out and avoid stress and things like that till they can get that done. And so you pray for her, and we're also praying for Brother Jess Phipps has got, I can write that down, Amy, if you'll remind me later, April, March 30th, he's got knee replacement surgery. I'll write that down so I can have it for later, and we'll be praying for him. I told him, make sure they do the correct knee when they get in there. I've heard of horror stories where they did something and did it on the wrong one. So we want to make sure they get the right one when he gets in there. But I told him that story. This lady had something. I can't remember if it was her knee or ear or something. She had some problem with something with the doctor. And she went did testing. We're going to have to do surgery. And she said, well, what's the problem with it? He said, well, no, really no problem. And she said, well, why am I having problems? He said, well, there's problems, but there's really no explanation for the problems except just your age. And she said, what are you trying to say? He said, well, it's just old age. It's just the way it was, the way it is. And she said, well, the other knee is just as old, and I'm not having any problem with it. So what do you explain? How do you explain that? So, but we'll pray for them, pray for the Jess, and we're praying for, let's see here, congratulations to, if you see David or Tammy Hayes, they've got a new grandson, Matthew. They won't be here today, but Bodie, Matthew Hayes. So Matthew and Bree had their baby yesterday morning over at Bristol, and so the baby, he's here fine and a healthy baby boy. So praise the Lord for that. Want you to congratulate them when they get back, and then David and Tammy as well. So I will certainly want to thank the Lord for that. Well, maybe you have a prayer request. If you holler it out loud, I'll repeat it. Anybody have something you'd like to pray for? Brother Danny? Okay, Lois Hauser had her surgery on Friday, and so hopefully, Lord willing, she'll come home on Tuesday. So keep Miss Lois in your prayers, if you would. Yes, thank you. Someone else? Continue to pray for Miss Pat Shaw. The Lord would just do a work in her life, and we're praying together that the Lord let her get strong enough, get back here in church. And so I want you to really pray for her. Pray for Pat Shaw. So I appreciate that. Anybody else? Pray for Sherry Edens. And so she got home, right? And so we continue to pray for Sherry Edens. She had that procedure done at Vanderbilt last week, and so that went well. And so just keep her in your prayers. And I challenge everybody, not only pray, let people know you're praying. Praying for somebody, pick up the phone and call them sometime this week and let them know, hey, we're praying for you. The greatest thing you can do for somebody is pray for them. And I think one of the next greatest things you can do is let them know you're praying for them, because that, of course, going to God can change the situation. But then when you go and tell them I'm praying, then it encourages them and lets them know that you're bearing one another's burdens. That's one of the things we'll speak about today in the lesson. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we're grateful for the chance to pray. We do ask you to bless these requests, dear Lord. We know you're able. We know you are your God. And Lord, we pray that you would meet these needs. I do pray for Lord, Miss Lois, that you would strengthen her and bless her now as she gets to come home on Tuesday. Pray that you'd work in her life. I pray for Sherry Edens, that you would continue to bless her, dear Lord, and give her strength. Bless Brother Chuck as well as he waits on her and helps her, dear Lord. Just strengthen there. I pray for Brother Jess as he has this knee replacement here in a few weeks. I pray that it goes well, dear Lord, and that you'll give him a good recuperation afterwards. And Lord, we pray preemptively that you'd bring that swelling down afterwards. I pray that, Lord, you'd let no issues come, any infection or blood clots or anything like that. Sometimes they all worry about that. So, Lord, just pray that you would just give him a great recuperation afterwards. I pray for Margaret Tipton, that you would continue to protect her, dear Lord, and strengthen her through this surgery. I pray that it's a good success and you'd bless in that. Lord, we pray for Brother Musgrove's family, that you would strengthen them today and help them in this valley that they're in, dear Lord. I thank you for little Bodie being here. Pray that you would just, Lord, bless him and bless his family. Thank you for the safe delivery there, and we'll thank you for all that you do. I pray for Summer Scroggs over in Africa, dear Lord, that you would help her there with the Haleys, and you would keep her healthy and well and safe, dear Lord, and bless her as she heads back this way sometime next month. But Lord, just lead, guide, and direct her, I pray. We pray for Brother Joe Arthur as well, that you would strengthen him, help him, Lord, through a surgery that he's going to have. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I forgot to mention before the prayer, but Joe Arthur, who preached our revival this year, he's having some sort of surgery on his vocal cords, which he's very concerned about. They're not sure what the outcome will be, and I'm not sure all the details of what's led up to this, but he's very, very worried or concerned. Of course, preaching's what his life is and what he loves to do, and so he's he really requests our prayer. And so that's coming up on next week, a week from tomorrow, I think, March the 21st. So pray for Brother Arthur. Well, we'll look into our lesson today, one another, serving one another. And the Bible talks about how we ought to build one another and how we ought to react toward one another. And I trust that the lesson is a blessing to you today. We'll begin in Galatians chapter 5. If you find your place in Galatians chapter 5, and we'll look there as our starting point, but then we'll move around to some places that the Bible gives us instruction to tell us how we're supposed to act toward one another. You know, there's a lot of times at churches we act as if we don't even like to be around one another. And sometimes we act as if we'd really rather just people go other places. But the Bible clearly tells us how we ought to behave toward each other. For brethren, Galatians 5:13, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to flesh, but by love serve one another. And as true as I can be this morning, the Bible talks about us supposed to be serving one another. Now, most of us know what, if they didn't have it in the school you went to, you know the scenario. You have places when you get up to a junior and senior, sometimes sophomore, but you get up there and they'll have those homecoming courts. Homecoming king, homecoming queen, you know, all that, usually before a football game or something like that. And they're competing one with another for the position, the crown. And sometimes churches get to be about the same way. People are trying to compete to get to do this, to get to do the other. Well, I can't believe that person's singing today, or I can't believe that person is teaching the class, or I can't believe this, or I can't believe that. And it's really not they can't believe it as far as that person not being qualified, but what they can't believe is, and they should be more accurate to say, I can't believe I'm not. And we ought to have a totally different mindset. We're supposed to serve one another. If somebody else is doing well, if we go out to the parking lot as soon as some more people come, if we go out to the parking lot and we see somebody's got a brand new car and that's what we really wanted, then we ought to rejoice with them until ours gets here. And if ours never gets here, we ought to still rejoice with them and then hope they give us a ride sometime. We ought to be happy one for another. The Bible teaches us we're supposed to rejoice with those that rejoice. We're supposed to weep with those that weep when somebody's having something going on this week and it's a difficult time for them. We ought to... You ever think about how do you weep with those that weep? You have to put yourself in that position. You have to spend a little bit of time thinking about what they're going through. Empathy, not just sympathy, but empathy is when you actually put yourself in a position where you try to really feel what somebody is going through. Now, if somebody's going through something that you haven't gone through, it's harder for you to do, and I always challenge people never to say, oh, I know what you're going through, if you don't. But what you can always do is pray for them, and the Bible says we're supposed to serve one another. So let's go down through this if we can. I want you to look at three different things this morning, and one is building one another. Because really, we're supposed to be building one another. There's so much in our world that's tearing things down, but we're supposed to be building up. Look, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians, you're in Galatians, just turn to the right a little bit. You got all the UNS books, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. The Bible tells us in this passage, when you get to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 11, you're going to see that it tells us what we're supposed to do one for another. Yes, we're supposed to comfort yourselves together, the Bible says, and edify one another. Now, that word literally means build up. And so we're supposed to edify one another, to instruct and improve, especially by example, to build them up. And so the Bible teaches that this church is a wonderful, wonderful gift of God. And one of the many reasons it's a gift of God to you and to me is that one of these days you're down, I can build you up. The next Sunday I'll be down and you can build me up. And we'll keep that process going until Jesus comes to get us. We ought to edify one another. We're also supposed to, not as only do we edify, but we exhort. If you want to look there in Hebrews 10:25, you know what it is just as well as I do. Exhorting one another. Forsake not the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible says in Hebrews in that area. Let me get it to you exactly. But we're supposed to not only edify one another, but we're supposed to exhort, and to urge by words or advice. In verse number 24, we may get to this another point. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, to urge by words or advice. That's why I mention it when we tell people we're going to pray. What are we doing? We're encouraging them. When you see somebody that's got something good in their life, tell them, that's a blessing. When you see somebody doesn't have something good in their life, tell them, I'm praying for you. We don't understand the power of our words. If we did, we would use a lot more of them for good and not for evil. Now, it's so easy for us to get to a place where we're always ragging on something. We're always nitpicking, always nagging about this, always talking about that. I can't believe this and I can't believe that. You know why that's so easy? Because we live a lot of times by this old flesh. But the Scripture gives us and instructs us to, instead of always tearing down, that we're supposed to exhort, to urge them by our words or by our advice. And I'm asking us all to do a better job of building one another. Let's look at it like this. We'll take a little quiz. Are there going to be people here at church that are depressed about something today? Yes. The answer, yes, on that quiz. Do we have opportunity to change their setting a little bit? Yes. We do. By our words, by our advice, by our encouragement, by our exhortation, by our edifying as well, but by our exhortation. Now, the last part of the quiz, you don't have to answer because that's going to be a personal thing. And by the end of the day, you'll know whether it was yes or no. But am I going to help exhort them? Because it's really there for the doing. I already told you, there's going to be people that are here that are upset. There's people that probably got bad news at a job this week. There's probably people that got bad news about a grown child somewhere else in this country. There's people that got difficult news about this. There's certain people that have lost some loved ones. There's different people that have been beat down, so to speak, this week. And I get to decide whether I'm going to exhort them, whether I'm going to urge them by my words or my advice, or whether I'm just going to leave it alone. Sometimes I like to put it like, or I like to think about it like this, and that is, if everybody did as much exhorting as I do. Now, I understand I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to do more. I get that. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all. I get that. But if everybody did as much as I did, how much would get done? And then it convicts me, because a lot of times, I mean, I'm not talking about what I do behind the pulpit. I'm just talking about, you know, out in the hallway. A lot of times I'm like you. I'm just getting to the car. I got to get down to my office to get something so I can give it to somebody else. It always worries me. Last 2 weeks ago, I had to run to my office to get something for Tim Tipton, because when I saw him, it made me think, you know how those thought processes happen? You don't think about it for 2 weeks, and then you see some, oh, I got to do that. And then why do you run and do it right then? Because you know if you don't run and do it right then, how long is it going to be before the next time it crosses your mind? So I thought, I got to go get that out of my office for Tim. And so I ran past some people, because it was about 2 minutes till church started. And I ran past some people, went to get that for Tim. And I said, here, I don't want to forget it again. And the thought hit me long after I preached that night, and then went on and did something else. And before I went to bed, it hit me. Wonder if I ran past somebody that needed me to nod and encouragement to them, or easily slap them on the back or shake a hand. Sometimes we don't do it intentionally, but we just forget to edify, to urge, to edify, to urge by our words or by our actions. And so we're supposed to be building one another. We're putting bricks in people's lives. I'm convinced that we are, or else we're not, which is worse. We ought to build one another. We edify them. We exhort them. We admonish them. And that admonish just means to warn gently. We are going to run out of time here, but you can look in Romans chapter 15. I think I put it on your handout. It just means admonish. Now, listen, here's where we get in trouble. Sometimes we say, I'm going to admonish them. I'm going to tell them. Sometimes it's better not to say something unless you have a relationship with them. Here's how I judge that. If this is the first thing I've talked to them about in the last 16 months, I probably ought not to say, listen, I've got a bone to pick. I've got a crow to pick with you, or bone to pick, whatever one that is. I don't really want to be picking bones or crows, so it doesn't really matter. But if you haven't talked to them in the last year and a half, probably ought not to be the first thing you came is, hey, listen, I've got something to say to you. We probably ought to make sure that we do some of this other edifying, admonishing, exhorting, or edifying and exhorting before we get that admonishing. And then we see in Hebrews chapter 10, we won't look back there because I already read it, we're supposed to consider one another. You know what would change our church for the good if we'd allow that to happen? If we would just think about how what we do affects other people. What if everybody was as hard to get along with as I am? You say, oh, Pastor, this would be a horrible church to go to. It might be. I don't know. What if everybody was as difficult to deal with as I sometimes am? And you know what will fix me? You know what will fix myself? Is if instead, like the Scripture says, we consider one another. That just means to esteem them. You've got the definition there, I think, in your handout. To esteem them. But this is not only good for church, this is good for your family as well. You got a family, you got kids, some of them live with you, some maybe your kids are grown, whatever. But you got family that comes together, all come together for a birthday, for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, whatever it is. Everybody in that house, they've got feelings. Everybody in that house is a person God loves. Nobody in that house needs to be demeaned. Nobody needs to be looked down upon. Even sometimes those people that aren't living like you know they ought to live, we ought to consider one another, and especially in our church. And then letter E, we ought to receive one another. And I'll give you that, Romans chapter 15. The Bible talks here about how we ought to not only consider, not only encourage and admonish and all the rest, but in verse number 7, Romans, wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. This is in that passage where he's talking about Christian liberty, how we're supposed to behave ourselves. And one of the things we're supposed to do is receive other people. You say, receive them? What do you mean? Give them a warm welcome. How do we behave ourselves when people come in these doors? How do we behave ourselves when people come up and talk to you? I've seen it happen lots of times. And people don't even think mean to do it. But they'll be talking in a group. It happens at schools, happens at churches, happens there. And that person comes up and they just make them feel as unwelcome as all get out. Maybe they're not even meaning to do it. They're so intent in the conversation. Maybe like when I was running back through the hall trying to get something for Tim, and then I may have blindly walked past somebody. But we ought to receive one another. That's the way we ought to do. And so all these things fit in this category of building each other up. And so I really want to ask you, you know, I never speak to just to hear myself. I was taught this morning. Steve said he wasn't going to be here, and I actually forgot about it for two later. I might have had one of the men in the room teach it, but I forgot about it till later. And the Lord had just seemed to put this on for this. So I never speak just out of because I want to hear myself. I always have a purpose. I always want to. And I'm asking this morning: are you doing a good enough job building one another? Are we doing a good enough job building people? Because I believe me, there's going to be some horrible weeks that have been had by the people who are going to sit in these pews in about half an hour. And you say, well, what can I do? I'm only with them for a few moments. Well, we are with them for a few moments. And we ought to build one another. And that's why I'm so big on this thing of, if you're praying for somebody this week, one of the greatest things you can do is call them. And the greatest thing you do is pray for them. But one of the greatest things, call them, send them a card, let them know you're praying for them. Because it's that little silent witness when they get a card in the mail that says, praying for you through this tough time. Building one another. Okay, let's move on. Number two, how we behave toward one another. We build each other, and then how we behave. This is more of the casual parts about how we come up and we talk and we greet. Letter A, love and greet one another. There's a lot of verses there that I won't necessarily go over because they're there in your notes. But we ought to love each other. And I hope that we all learn to love the people that we go to church with. Now, you all heard the analogy, we love everybody, we don't have to like everybody. There are some people who you are just not necessarily, your personality type just doesn't mesh with that person. They are like the proverbial fingers down the chalkboard. They really irk you, get on your nerves, they perturb you, whatever. There are those people, you work with them. And, I mean, when you go to work, you work with them, and it's not the person you're going to go on vacation with. It's not the person that you say, hey, let's go spend a few hours and go to a ball game together. It's not the person, but that's okay. And so those people are not only at work, they also go to church. They may be a wonderful, godly Christian, but they talk so much, they could talk paint off of a wall. And you just think, boy, that just gets on my nerves. Or maybe the other one, they act like they never talk at all, and they just act like all they do is just grunt. And you say, well, why don't they ever say anything? So there's people that you won't necessarily be bosom buddies with, but we ought to love each other. We ought to greet each other. And we'll get a little bit to that in the end. And then letter B, though, next we ought to see, and I'm in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 10. Just realize I didn't have you chase all these verses, which we should. I want a Bible study to be Bible study. In this passage, where in verse number 1, we are told how we're supposed to present our bodies to a living sacrifice holy unto God. And then verse number 3, it talks about moves toward our responsibility toward society, how we're supposed to treat people. And then it talks about he gives us gifts according to his grace in verse number 6, and whether some minister, some teach, some exhort, some rule, some gives, all those the fruit of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts. But then look down at verse number 10 of Romans 12. And then in all of these things about that love and exhorting and giving and ruling and mercy and cheerfulness and ministry and all of that, he gives the prohibition in verse number 11, not slothful in business, but in verse number 10, he tells us how to react toward one another. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. I'm trying to remember where I heard it. I'll try to make sure it wasn't somebody that was here. I don't believe it was here. A preacher had said it. He said, you know, I can really challenge that verse for you. He said, if you go into your subdivision, wherever you live, and there's smoke billowing up from an obvious house fire, you don't go into there saying, oh, I hope it's mine. I hope it's my house. You don't go in there doing that. You go in saying the opposite. And I would as well. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not being a super spiritual person. But if we really preferred one another, we'd say, well, nobody's at my house. I sure hope it's my house, not my neighbor's house. I sure hope it's mine, not theirs. So if we really, really got down to where we preferred one another to that level, that'd be amazing. And I don't think we can necessarily, but I'm just saying, I think that if we think we're doing such a good job at looking good on others and preferring one another before ourselves, think about that next time you drive into your neighborhood and you hear or you see evidence that somebody's house has been broke into or being burned. So, well, I hope it's mine. I hope it's not my neighbor's. Well, I don't want them to have to go through this. I hope I take this on the chin instead of them having to. I'm telling you, folks, we are selfish by nature. God knows it. That's why he tells us to prefer one another. Do you ever notice that God doesn't tell us the things that we do by nature? You don't find the scriptures, hey, make sure you take yourself out once in a while. Make sure you do this. Make sure you watch out for yourself. God knows we're going to do that because we are in this flesh. But what he does tell that we're supposed to prefer one another. Now, we won't go back to our text verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, but we're also supposed to serve one another. I want to challenge you, though, before we leave that point. If you think you're doing a good job or you think you're doing a bad job, either one, I'm challenging you in this class to do something for some other brother or sister in Christ that they won't know was you. Maybe that's an anonymous gift. Maybe if you know somebody's in need of something or you know that they like a certain restaurant and I don't know all the specifics, but I'm telling us that I'm giving you an assignment to serve one another. Not when it gets noticed from the platform, not when some Sunday school teacher or some other entity really notices it, but we ought to serve one another. And then we ought to greet one another as well. I'm in Romans chapter 16, verse number 16. I'm thankful that this was a cultural thing that's not necessarily intended for us today. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 16, salute one another with an holy kiss. Always used to say that'd be probably the favorite verse for the teen department, but we don't allow that either. Salute one another. Other passages, it said greet one another with an holy kiss. We ought to greet each other. I'm just trying to get us to see that we've got a responsibility when we come to church, how we're supposed to behave one or the other. So, I don't want another thing to do. I don't want a responsibility. Well, you got a responsibility. Then forget about the church. You got a responsibility at your house. You know, it's a wonderful thing when families get back together after somebody's been apart for 8 hours at work or at training or school or whatever. I challenge everybody to acknowledge people when they come into their house. They say, oh, yeah, they came back 10 hours ago. I haven't seen them yet, but they're down there sometimes. I know sometimes things happen and you don't. But we ought to greet one another. And so the scripture says this is how we're supposed to behave one toward another, these four or five places. Love and greet, prefer them, serve them, and greet them. And then here's how the reaction. You know the difference between behaving and reacting. Reacting is just what you do in response to something else. Behaving is just how you do all the time. But I want us to look at a few things that will be a blessing. Look in Colossians chapter 3. You're in Romans or Thessalonians or somewhere. It's not far from any of theirs. Colossians chapter number 3. The Bible is very clear how I'm supposed to react towards you and how you're supposed to react toward me. You're there, Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another, holding up, just putting up with some things, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I love it because it's kind of funny. I love it when people say, yeah, but you don't know what they've done. Well, when we compare it in the context of that verse, since the sins of the whole world were placed on Christ, really doesn't matter what they did. You say, yeah, but they haven't asked me to forgive them yet. Remember those words of Christ? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When Jesus was on the cross, had you asked him for forgiveness yet? Of course you hadn't. You weren't even born yet. The only one you were thought of by was him, was by God. And so he forgave. He died on the cross for us. And so the scripture says here, we're supposed to forgive. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So forgive one another. We realize that that's not always easy to do, right? That sometimes it's so much more enjoyable to hold on to the infraction that they did against us. We keep it like change in our pocket in case I need to spend it later. That way, next time they did anything to me, I can say, yeah, it ain't as bad as what you did to me. Next time they do something that's wrong, that's unkind, that is whatever, they can say, yeah, but don't you remember? One preacher said, he said, yeah, I was in this argument with my wife and she started getting historical. This person says, don't you mean hysterical? I said, no. When she gets mad, she gets historical. She starts pulling out every problem, everything I've done wrong for the last 30 years. But the Bible says that we're supposed to forgive one another. And that is so easy to say, but so hard to do. Because it bothered us so much when it happened. That's why it's so hard to forgive. So we're supposed to forgive one another. And if we would do that, truly do that, then your home, your business, this church, would be much more enjoyable to be in. Galatians, you're in Colossians. Look in Galatians chapter 6. Go turn left for a few books. Galatians chapter 6. This is the passage in verse number 1 where it talks about, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such in one, considering yourself, lest there also be tempted. So that talks about how we're supposed to restore somebody who's messed up. But then it goes on to say what we're supposed to do in that situation and others, though, in verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, if when you were a kid, if you had a good relationship with your papa, whoever, your grandparents, you would always love to do an errand for them, especially if that errand resulted in getting to do something afterwards. Whenever I was a kid, if somebody was going to town, I was good to go. I wanted to go. I was game. I wanted to go because we lived so far out in the country and nobody really, we didn't go a lot to town. And so if somebody was going, they didn't have to tell me why. I was good to go. I'd wait through a grocery store shopping. I'd wait through all these things just to get to go to town because it might end up in stopping at McDonald's or stopping somewhere after it was over. But if somebody gave you an errand, a parent, a grandparent, whatever, if you love them, then you take great joy in doing that errand. I mean, if my pastor called me today and said, John, I need you to do something. I need you to bring something to Murfreesboro. I need it by tomorrow morning. I'd say, as soon as I'm done preaching, I will have it there for you tonight after service. Because I would love to do an errand for him. And people that you respect, that you admire, if my dad said, John, I hate to ask you, but I need this. And so I would leave after church tonight, and I'd go up and do that. We'd do an errand for him gladly. Of course, I would for my mom. She's in heaven. And if I had the chance to do something, and my grandparents are. But look at what the scripture says in verse number 2 of Galatians. Bear ye one another's burdens. Sometimes we forget and leave it off there. But it says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You're getting to do this on the behalf of Christ. You're fulfilling His law, fulfilling His will, fulfilling His word, fulfilling His desires. If Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross, die for our sins, bear the burdens of the whole world, then what we are doing when we bear one another's burdens, we suffer along with somebody, when we restore a brethren that's fallen, when we take that we don't really have to for them and on their behalf, what we're doing is we're fulfilling the law of Christ. If I'd miss sleep and drive through the night to get something for somebody here on this earth that needed me, how much more should I labor intensely to fulfill the law of Christ? And so we see that I'm supposed to bear one another's burdens. And then we see another one that sounds a lot like it, but different, forbear. And that's your next one there, to refrain from punishing. You're in Galatians. I'm flipping you back a lot, I know, but in Colossians again. Chapter number 3. The Bible says in Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another. We already looked at it once about forgiving one another, but I want to bring you back. Forbearing means that you held back some things that you could have said. I just want to see. I think I know a few people, I don't know anybody completely like this, but I know some people who don't hold back much of what they say. If it comes here, it goes out here. And sometimes I think it doesn't go here, but it still comes out here. They didn't think at all before they said it. Well, forbearing, the Bible says we're supposed to do, forbearing one another. We're supposed to refrain from punishing, be that verbally or some other way. I guess our modern day vernacular would fit in with that is put up with it. You say, I don't think I should have to put up with that. Well, the scripture, you can call it whatever you want, forbear just means to refrain from punishing somebody when it was within your power to do it. You forbear. And these are the reactions one to another. The last one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, we probably don't have to drive that one home, and that's comfort one another. Our church does a phenomenal job, and people in this room right here do a wonderful job about comforting one another when people pass. And I say that not to boast, make you boastful or us boastful, but to commend you, but also tell you to keep on. You understand that one of the good avenues is just writing cards. You know, that's almost a lost art nowadays. Hardly anybody writes cards of comfort, cards of birthday cards, cards of appreciation, cards of anything, unless it's overdue notice. Hey, you forgot to do this. But I'm talking about personal cards. We don't do it much. And it doesn't have to be that way. It can be some other way. It can be calls. It can be texts. It can be stop-bys. It can be all that other way. But one of the greatest ways is a little silent witness when it gets into the house of comfort to somebody. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we ought to comfort one another. Well, these are some ways that we've looked at that we ought to serve and behave one toward another. So first of all, once you want to rehash it, we ought to build one another. You know how we're going to have great church members in 20 years? If we build some up. And one of the greatest things you can do is in the life of somebody is build them. Push them up, exhort them, edify them, not forget how powerful our words are. We just spew them out like they don't matter, but they do matter. And I want to be, I want us to be a church that are using them because since they matter so much, use them for good. You know, to consider one another. So build them up. And then how we're supposed to behave toward one another, just how we function in here, greeting, preferring, serving, lifting up, and loving and greeting, and then how we react toward somebody when they do wrong. You say, well, they shouldn't have done wrong. That's right. That's correct. They should not have. But just like your parents told me, two wrongs don't make a right. And I hope we serve one another. And we look at the Bible and we see how God wants us to get along with His family. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank You for this hour we've had. I pray that You would bless our next time together, dear Lord, when we get to meet here in a few moments for church. I pray that You would truly meet with us, dear Lord. We want to meet together, but more than that, we want You to meet with us. Bless our time, we ask, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you just in a few moments for church.